Outstanding. What a blessing. Boy, that you girls, you know what? You got me excited. That was really great. I love good singing, don't you? By the way, Libby Jew will be going to Florida this Wednesday. Pray for Libby that she'll get a safe journey. And of course, you don't have to pray for her after that because she'll be in Florida. And she'll be enjoying, she's not going to see none of the snow or something, but she'll be back. She's one of our snowbirds. And then, of course, Bob and Mildred are away. Clifford's keep praying for them. And Mildred's trying to get that, take care of that cancer. By the way, I also want to tell you, Mike Furness brought a visitor Wednesday. And the man was 42 years old. And he trusted Christ as his Savior. Amen. Gave an invitation. And Wednesday night. And then after he said afterwards, he said, "Can I talk to you?" And I took him and I led him to Christ right up here in this, right in this front pew. Amen? Amen. That was really exciting. I told Brother Mike, I'm so glad he's back here. And already he's bearing fruit, bringing people here. And we're glad for that. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. Good to see Brother Jack here with us today. God bless you. Good to see some of our seniors that are from our ABL program. Good to have every one of you. This thought was on my heart for about 3 days, and I couldn't get it out. And so I'm going to preach on a thought that you probably have never heard me. I told Brother Eddie, I've never preached the way I'm going to preach on this particular subject. It's a thought I want to convey in your heart, and I hope it's a blessing to you. I want to encourage your life. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Peter. And I'm going to talk to you about the cock crowing. And the title of the message is, "Can you hear the cock crow?" Remember, Jesus told me, "You're going to deny me 3 times. And when you do, by the third time, the cock's going to crow." Anyways, I've got the kids going. I want to give you a thought today for every one of us to think individually. Can you hear the cock crow? It's a thought I want you to think about. Amen? Let's look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 31 through 35. And then I'll pick up a few more scriptures. But notice Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. We're glad to have all our guests with you. I'm so delighted that you're here. This is a great church, a friendly church. It's a real church. It's a caring church. You keep coming. I guarantee you, you'll love it. And the preacher's a plain fellow, but I care about people. I care about your lives. I'm a straight shooter. I don't pull no punches. And I tell you what I believe the way the Bible says things, but I think that shows I care about people. Yeah. And for instance, Brother Carey and Miss Karen, they sought counsel before they bought a house. They took me over here off of 14 on 1 Street, and they said, "She was all, oh, preacher, I think we found it. What do you think?" I said, I don't think God's in it. So, but now they found one that was exactly what God wanted. You know, but what I'm saying is, I don't always say things to make people happy. I say things to try to help people. How many understand what a preacher's saying? And so, let me read to you the scriptures here this morning. I had some dizziness yesterday. I had some real, boy, that must be going around. I had some real health issues yesterday. I wasn't feeling good at all. And, but maybe something going around, Eddie. A lot of people got that flu bug, stuff like that. Then, notice verse 31. "Then said Jesus unto them," verse 31, Matthew 26, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it's written, I will smite the shepherd." I'm going to talk to you about that shepherd in a few minutes. "And the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again," oh, I love that, He hadn't even died yet. He's telling you, I'm telling you, I'm going to die, but I'm going to tell you right now, don't worry, I'm coming back. Sunday's coming, amen? And I'm risen again. By the way, he wasn't crucified on a Friday. You can't get 72 hours, 3 days. He was crucified on a Wednesday. Anyways, and he came up on I'll teach you so much. He actually came up on what we call our Saturday morning, but it was really a Jewish Sunday because their clock goes from 12. They started different, 6 to 6. They start different, okay? Around Easter time, I'll preach it to you and I'll show you. Anyways, see, Saturday's their Sabbath. And Sunday starts a brand new day. And that we go to church on Sunday because that's the day the Lord rose from the grave. Amen. We don't keep the Sabbath. But their day starts different. It says in the evening and the morning were the first day. Scripture. Oh wow. That's another message. Notice what he says, I am risen again. I'm glad I've got a risen Savior. That's what separates Christianity from all religions. There's in the tomb or in the grave, or there's just a statue. But ours is a real, living, real, live Savior. Amen. He's risen. He's real. He's righteous. He's reigning. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's a redeeming Savior. And he's going to be a returning Savior. Amen. I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Boy, that's a bold statement. Jesus said to him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice, three times. Peter said to him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise, notice 35. Likewise also said all the disciples. Wasn't just Peter. Wasn't just Peter. I'll pray and I'll let you sit down. Then I'm going to show you some more scripture. And then let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, I really believe you want me to preach this message. It's different than I normally preach. But Father, I believe there's a truth that you want people to see today. Help me to be a blessing. Oh God, that's all I want to be, is a blessing. I want to be an encouragement. I want to be a help. Please help me, Father, to be a blessing and to do your work and to do it well. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You might be seated. By the way, we send our condolences to Brother Wade Hillis. He lost a cousin, I believe it was a family member, this week, and suddenly, and we do feel, we prayed for him and pray that God would comfort he and his whole family. I want you to notice verse 35 again. Peter said, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. We all know that. This is a familiar story to everybody. Little kids could tell you this story. Likewise, also said all the disciples, not just Peter. They all said they would die with him. They all said they'd never forsake him. They all said they would never deny him. You see, we just point our finger at Peter, but I'm going to tell you, they all were involved. By the way, we're all involved many times too. I mean, we shake and say, boy, that Peter was a real character. I'm going to tell you, if we would look in the mirror, we might find out that we're looking at another character. Notice in the same chapter, look at verse 55 and 56. In that same hour, now of course I've taken Christ. In that same hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, are you come out against the thief with swords and staves for to take me? I'm in verse 55, Matthew 26. I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold of me. In other words, he says, hey, why are you coming out with all these weapons? Man, I was with you in the daytime in the temple just teaching. You could have came right in there and got me. Why are you coming out like I'm a hoodlum? Hello? Like I'm a convict or something. Because he took the sinner's place, that's why. Notice verse 56. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. What's the next sentence? Then, and I circled, what's the next word? All. Then all the disciples forsook them and fled. They were like the three students. They got out of there. I'm not making light of the subject. I'm trying to keep the kids with me. You got to relate to them with how they relate. Amen. Got to get it on their. Got to get it on their level, Brother Kerry. But did you notice what they said there? They all. How many disciples stayed? None. They all forsook them. They all fled. You know, it's amazing. We'll point our fingers at other people, but usually we're really in that group too. And I guess today I just want us to look in the mirror. Let's not point our finger at other people because we're probably in that same group. Everybody knows about Peter, but what about Andrew? What about John? Hello? What about Thomas? Hello? What about the whole group that was there? Are you with me? They all, look at what it says. And all the disciples forsook him and fled. They ran. They were scared out of their socks. But just a few hours earlier, though, maybe not even hours, just a few moments earlier, they said, oh, Jesus, I'm going to tell you right now, we'll go to the death with you. All it took was a few guys with a torch and a sword, and they all ran. It's amazing how we say we'll stand up for God, and yet, boy, when the tire meets the road, I don't know how much tire and how much tread we really got. Are you still with me, church? And look also in verse 69 through 75, Matthew 26. Now Peter sat without. In the palace, he must have came back. He must have got a conscience. I got to go back. I got to see what they're going to do. Peter always was the guy that was the first one to do something, first one to say something, first one to cut the guy's ear off. I mean, Peter was a rough, tough fisherman. Actually, he was probably part of the mafia during that day, man. You know, just kidding, that's a joke. Boy, you got, hello. But he was evil. No, in all seriousness aside, Peter was a rugged Peter. Andy, in my heart, I believe in my heart from the reading and studying of the Bible, I believe of the 12 disciples, I believe Peter was the most rugged, most probably the most strongest, most forthright man, most outspoken of all the disciples. I believe he was the most forthright in almost every category. Amen? And so, notice what it says there. In verse 69, and Peter sat without the palace, and a dazzle came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. Number one, verse 70. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Oh, man, Pete, you said you died for him. Now just the lady's questioning you. You're giving in to a lady. Hello? Look at 71. And when he was gone out of the porch, another maid saw him and said to them, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. Hey, this guy, I know he was there. And again he denied, verse 72, with an oath. With an oath. In other words, I swear to God I don't know him. Hello? With an oath? He might not say, I swear to God, but when you make an oath, you're making an oath to God. Again, he denied with oath, I do not know the man. Wow. Just an hour earlier, whenever it was, just at that same night, Brian, he was saying, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm sticking with you. I'll lay my life down. I am not going to deny you, Jesus. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. I'm never going to deny you. Boy. Look at the next verse. And after a while came in him and stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse. He cussed them out. You know how when you hit your hand with a hammer or something? Getting real quiet in here. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. You're going to deny me three times. And the third time you're going to hear a cock crow. You know what? Every time Jesus says something, we better listen. Because every time he tells us something, Brother Bud, it's going to come to pass. What I want you to see today, I'm hoping I can help you see it. God's word always comes to pass. And Brother Andy, we need to listen to Jesus because when he tells us something, we need to take heed because it's going to happen. Are you with me? Peter, and then Peter remembered the word of Jesus, verse 75, which said to him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and he wept bitterly. I know that feeling. Look up here to me. I'm not perfect. I'm just saved. I have a perfect standing because of God through Christ. But I'm just a man, a mortal man. I have a flesh that's enmity against God, the Bible says in Romans. You can learn that. It's not subject to the law of God, neither deed can be. You can't make this old man love God. It never will. It hates God. And there's going to be times that we say things and do things that we say, oh, like for instance, I might say something. I'll say, oh, after I say, oh, I can't believe. Or I might, some guy might run me off the road. I might have tried to witness that guy earlier. I might have gave him a track. Said, hey, I want to get, he runs off, you dirty rat. I can't believe I did that. How many are still with me? I love Jesus. Or maybe something come by and you get a bad thought in your mind. You'll say, oh, my lands. How can I have that? What's wrong with me? I love him. What's wrong? Are you still with me, church? What I'm saying is there's a lot of things we do in life. Even though we say we don't want to deny Christ, there's a lot of times we just outright deny him and we fail. I'm glad he never fails us, so amen? But he knows, the Bible says, he knows our frame. Aren't you glad he knows us? If Andy, if I would be God, I would have killed me by now. I would have. For all the times I messed up for God, lose my temper. I have a bad temper. At least I think I do. People tell me I do. I keep breaking things, so I know I must have something wrong with me. I had to buy a new printer this week because the other one stopped working. It wouldn't print, and I shook it. You can't shake those printers. And you definitely can't pound on them. I'm trying to get into the computer age. It's cost me two computers and one printer so far in the 4 years I've been doing it. But anyways, I can't believe I did that. Hello, how many are still with me? I'm just trying to relate to you. We do things sometimes, or we'll do something and we'll say, we might say something or do go somewhere and we'll say, oh, my lands, I can't believe. Oh, Lord, I told you I'd never do that. And, oh, now look, God, help me, forgive me. How many have ever been there? At least I have. And I'm relating to Peter here. I guess I'm trying to be a spokesman for Peter today to all the Christians. Hey, he felt bad. And by the way, we're all in the same. Don't knock Peter because I think most of us are in the same issue, same boat. I took a study of this week. Did you know that this particular, I wrote, it's interesting, when I took a Bible study of this passage about Peter denying Christ, do you know it's in all four Gospels? Not everything's always recorded. This is recorded in all four Gospels. I think God wanted to teach us something here. It's in Matthew 26, verse 31 through 75. It's in Mark chapter 14, verse 30 through 72. It's in Luke chapter 22, verse 34 through 61. And it said John, it starts in John 13, 36 through 38, and then it picks up at John 18, 15 through 27. All four Gospels. I think I'm gonna read it to kids. I think Jesus is saying, "Hello, hello." Kids know what I'm talking about. Hello, do you hear me down there? Can you hear me now? And I think, boy, Emmy, you usually sat on that side. You guys changed sides, huh? I wonder where you were. I thought you, huh? I'm glad you can have either side. That's good. Hey, Filipinos, we got a defector. I thought you had surgery on your eyes. He didn't even. He got, no, I'm just having fun. Listen. All four Gospels. I think he's saying, hey, I really want you guys to get this. And I'm putting it in four times so you see it. And somewhere in your reading, you're going to catch it. By the way, four is a number of the world. I love numbers in the Bible, like one true living God, two is number of witness, three is a divine number, Jesus rose on the third day. Four is a number of the world. Lazarus was in the grave, dead in the grave for 4 days. Shows how the whole world's dead in their sin. And they need, and what happened to Lazarus? Jesus came and brought him back to life. If you want to live, you've got to have the world needs Jesus to bring him back to life. So four is the number of the world. Five in the Old Testament's death. David had five stones. It only took one to kill him, but he had four sons. But David had five stones. Death. And in the New Testament, it's grace. The five loaves of bread. Remember he fed the 5,000 with, the bread? How many remember that? And then six, the number of man, seven's a perfect number, stuff like that. Eight's a new beginning. There's eight people on earth. That's a type of salvation. Noah and his family, the eight people, they started a whole new world because everything was destroyed. Eight's a type of salvation, new beginning. And then nine's a finished work of Calvary's cross, stuff like that. Okay. So anyways, take my Romans class. I'll probably give you a bunch of them. But that's just to give you a little thought about some numbers. I love studying the Bible, don't you? It's so fun to study it. 40 is the number of testing in the wilderness. 40 years. It's also a generation in the Bible. And so, notice, I believe the Lord had a truth, a message, and a lesson for us to learn through this truth. I noted this. Jesus, look at your scripture again with me. Look at verse 31. I hate to say this. I wanted to preach this whole thing, but I didn't get past this first verse, Eddie. I'll have to bring another message to finish this thing because I got so much on this one word that I didn't get past that the first thing. And there's a lot more, but maybe someday I'll continue this message. Amen. Well, notice, look at verse 31. Jesus said to them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it's written, I will smite the shepherd of the sheep." How many see that? Jesus was and is the shepherd of the sheep. If you're saved today, you're a child of God. You're a sheep. If you're not saved, you're a goat. But Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And I know them and they hear me and they follow me." Are you with me? I like what David said in Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Can I ask you a question? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you really? That man was 42 years old Wednesday night. He said, and he bowed his head right here, the best way. He said, I want to get saved. And at 42 years old, he asked Christ to be his Savior. And he knows a shepherd now. He's a sheep in God's pasture. Amen. And Jesus is the chief shepherd. Pastors are the under shepherd. Notice, I'll just read to you. I wanted to read this from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. "The elders," that's the preachers, "which are among you, I exhort. Who am I also," that Peter said, "and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory then that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof." That's what the preacher is supposed to do. "Not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, not for money, but of a ready mind. God wants us to have a good mind for Him. That's why it says, stir up your pure minds in 1 Peter 3:1. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. I don't need to be a Jim Jones, and I'm never going to be a Jim Jones in this church. But God says, no, I want you to be a Christ-like figure. I want you to be an example for people to say that, yeah, that's how God wants us to live. A pastor should be an example. We went out yesterday and I told Joey, Brother Joey said, and we're glad to have Jones City from Toledo here with us this week. And I said, I want to put a tie on. When I go out, I want to look nice. So when people see me, they know I greet them as if I want to look, have a good look for my people and for my Savior. Amen. And I want you to notice, at verse 4 says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, that's Jesus. He's going to come. I know the world mocks. You preachers have been saying that for years. Yeah, I know, but He's coming. They used to laugh at Noah when he said there's going to be a flood, but the flood came. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. God says to, says to the preachers, hey, I want you to take, I'm the chief shepherd, but I'm going to make you an under shepherd while I'm gone. And you're going to watch over my people just like I watch over them. I want you to watch over them and help them and guide them. Now, I want you to note this. Sheep are to obey and to follow the shepherd. Sheep are to take heed to the shepherd's saying and warnings. Peter and the disciples should have took heed to what Jesus was trying to tell them. Amen? Today, I didn't even know we say amen. Amen? Yeah. I think they should have listened. Today, Christians are to take heed to the warnings and commandments that Christ left in the Bible. Listen, our Savior went back to heaven, but He left us His holy scriptures to follow Him and to live by. He left us this to live by. Psalms 119, verse 133. Order my steps in the Word, and let not my iniquity, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. If I let God's Word order my steps, I will get the victory. Amen. Psalms 109, verse 105. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. You ever wonder why people walk in darkness? They need to get their pathway illuminated with God's Word. Oh, yeah, now I see. Oh, yeah, God shed some light on this. Amen? Psalms 119, verse 160. Thy Word is true from the beginning, and every one of Thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Psalms 119, verse 140. Thy Word is very pure, therefore Thy servant loveth it. I got a pure Bible. I got a Bible that has no errors. I got a perfect Bible, a Bible that God handed down to His lambs, His sheep, that they could hear His instructions and follow Him the way He wants and take heed to His warnings so they wouldn't be ate up by the wolf. Amen? Now, listen to this thought. We need, as Christians and sheep of God, we need to learn God's Word. We need to learn it. You need to want to learn it. Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:5, 2:15, study thy word, study the story yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Most people can't even quote, they can quote you baseball statistics and football statistics. They can tell you years of guys at home runs and stuff like that, and how many, but they can't quote you John 3:16. That ought not be that way, Christians. Amen? I'm not against baseball, I'm not against basketball, I'm not against football, but I'm against it when it takes precedence over the things of God. We need to learn God's Word. We need to listen to God's Word. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. By the way, it's important that you're here. It's important that you're in God's house every time the service is open so you can hear the Word of God. By the way, sometimes it's amazing, Brother Andy. The preacher might be preaching on something, but because the Holy Spirit goes out from the Word, He might show you something that I'm not even talking about. I've been in hearing preaching, and I'll say, wow. And it was 100 miles away from what the guy was preaching about, but the Spirit of God opened up truth to me. I said, wow. Or he showed me something. Yeah, I need to do this. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We need to want to learn the Word of God. We need to want to listen to the Word of God. We need to want to love God's Word that says, thy servant loveth thee, Psalms 119, because it's pure. We need to long for God's Word. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. We got a lot of baby Christians. We got a lot of petty Christians. Why? They never get in God's Word. They never grow. They never mature. They're old. They're old in the Lord, but yet they're still like little babies. Got to give them pacifiers. Got to change their diapers. Are you still with me? You know, right now, little Titus, you know, he needs his diaper changed and things like that and formula, but I'd hate to have to see Eddie and Misty when he's 15. Hate to have to see him. Come here, baby. I'll give you a little bottle and let me change your diaper. No, you'd say, man, you need to grow up by that time. Hello? Hey, Christians, after a while, God says, you need to grow up. And you grow up by getting in the Word. The reason most people never grow up, we have a lot of immature Christians, they never read their Bible, never hear their Bible. The Bible has no part of their life. And by the way, until this Bible has a part of your life, you'll never grow forward. See, this Bible will either keep you from sin or sin will keep you from the Bible. Are you with me? So we need to learn it. We need to listen. We need to love it. We need to long for it. And then we need to live God's Word. We need to live it. Matthew 5:16 says, you're the light of the world, verse 14. It says, let your light shine bright that men might glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We need to live it. Jesus said, as I am holy, be ye holy. We need to walk with God. And a lost world needs to see that. Amen? And then we need to rejoice in our liberty that we have from Christ, Galatians 5:1. But also, we need to loudly proclaim to a lost world God's holy word. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word. Be in season and out of season. Exhort, rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine. We need to get this word out. Listen, if we did more of these, learn, listen, love, long, live, loudly, and preach, proclaim loudly, we would be less denying Christ. Are you with me? Sheep need to listen to the shepherd. Now, number one shepherd is Jesus Christ. And we can, you say, well, he's not here right now. He is through his word. He is through the Holy Spirit. Every Christian saved has got the Holy Spirit inside him. Romans 8:9 says, if you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of his. So if you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit in you. The moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit came in. The Bible says in Colossians, God made an operation made without hands. Amen? He's a circumcision by God. Spiritual circumcision. But he's given you also the Word, the Holy Spirit, and he's given you an under-shepherd, which I am a pastor. Don't overlook your pastor. Make sure your pastor plays some part in your life. I'm serious. Verse 7 of Hebrews 13. Remember them which have the rule over you. In other words, I think there's a dual meaning here. Hebrews 13:7. I think you should remember. You ought to pray for me every day. I really need your prayers. I'm going to tell you right now, God's men are attacked all the time. Brother Eddie, now you need to pray for Brother Eddie every day. You got to pray for him because he got to put up with these kids all the time. No. Did you know the hardest job in America, one of the hardest jobs in the church is the youth department? Because of much pressure and stress the kids are facing. The average youth director only makes it 18 months. Did you know that? The average youth director in America only lasts 18 months because they go bonkers. You know what I'm saying now, don't you? They lose it. So pray for Brother Eddie. He don't want to go bonkers. Amen? But pray for your pastors. Pray for your associate pastors. Pray for your deacons. Pray for those in authority. Because Satan wants to attack those in authority. Pray for the deacons, and I can just keep on talking to you. But we need to pray. But notice what it says there. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith foul. considering the end of their conversation, not just their speech, that word conversation does mean speech, but it takes even a wider spectrum. It means the whole lifestyle. What's the walk of their pastor? Does he pray? Does he read his Bible? Does he have a clean life? Is he separated? Is he a moral person? Hello, are you with me? And so that's they said your preacher's not perfect, but he ought to try to have an example of walking for Christ. That's why you need to pray for him. But also, what I want you to get is this: he's more than just a guy down the street. He's more than just the guy next door. He's the man of God that God sent to be a blessing to your life. And notice verse 17. Obey them to have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I watch for all your souls. Now Jesus saves them. But I try to watch out, to try to keep your life in line for Christ. I try to warn you when I see something going wrong. I try to encourage you to keep you going and different things. But almost like a father figure, I try to instruct you and discipline you and guide you and give you guidance and truth from the Word to help you go farther for Christ. That's what the man of God does. Brother Kerry didn't have to do what I said, but he was smart to let me pray about it. I'm praying about something right now with him. You know, Jamie had some stuff that she wanted, asked me to pray for some things on her face, and they came off. But she went to her preacher, and God honored it. How many are still with me? Don't overlook your preacher. That's why you got a preacher. Your preacher's here to try to be a blessing to you. Are you with me? And no, you don't need to tell a preacher everything. But those big things in life, you need to say, "Preacher, would you pray about this? Let me try to help you." Amen? And so, we need to listen to the shepherd. Listen, preachers know things even when you don't think they do. God gives the preacher insight, and God gives us understanding, and God gives us discernment sometimes. He gives us discernment and say, "Oh no, I don't know. I don't have a good feeling about that. No, I don't have feel good. I don't feel good about this house. My spirit says no. Get away. Let's go. Let's try another one." Are you with me? "Well, I want to quit this and go. No, I don't feel. I don't know. I don't feel good about that." I remember one boy used to come here. He's another fundamental church. He said, "I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to go up to Canada, be a missionary." He worked for Sears and Roebuck. And I said, he was going to marry this girl. I said, "You know, why don't we do this? Why don't we see if we can get a leave of absence?" Because I said, "You never know what might happen." Huh? He listened to me. And he got, instead of quitting, he got a leave of absence. And he went there, and after about 5 months, him and a girl and didn't get married, and he came back. Robert went back and got him, and he was really glad that he had his job waiting for him. Amen? And so, sometimes, believe it or not, I'm saying the preacher's always right. I'll tell you one thing. I guarantee the preacher will be right more times than wrong if he's a real man of God. He'll be right more than wrong. I guarantee you the track record. If he's really walking with God and he knows God. Now, I know this is not great preaching, but it's a truth that you need to have in your heart. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you two stories, and I'll probably close. They're true stories. I'm not trying to knock people, but I'm trying to give you a truth about listening to the shepherd by taking heed to the warnings of God's word and to the shepherd's word. About 10 years ago, I had a young boy here. He started to preach. Oh, I loved the kid. He was coming along real great. That's probably, it could be, I think it's 10 years. It's been quite a while. And he started studying with people that taught opposite doctrine that we teach. And he kept coming. I spent hours with him trying. I won't tell you who it was, but the initials were Peter Ruckman. And he got in a doctrine with Peter Ruckman about how Old Testament saints were saved with an element of works. I'm going to tell you something. Nobody ever was saved by an element of works. People have always been saved by grace in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Well, he kept studying, and he kept getting these false doctrines. And I said, you're going to keep going eventually. And he loved me. He loved me to death. He loved this church. I said, if you don't stop, eventually, you're not going to love me, and you're not going to love this church. He said, oh, no, preacher, I'll never leave you, and I'll never leave Bethel, because I love you, preacher. I love you more than anybody. He said, you're the man that taught me the Word of God. And everything. I said, I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't listen to me and get out of that false doctrine, you're going to get caught up in that group, and you're going to get messed up. And he didn't listen to me. And you know what happened to him? He ended up leaving the church. I haven't seen him for years. Losing his love for the pastor. Losing the love for the Bethel Baptist. And he said everything came from. He went off. But you know, I don't think he's preaching today. Matter of fact, now is he not preaching? To my knowledge, he's not. I'm not even sure if he's even in church anymore. Take heed. You're going to deny. Oh, no, I'll never deny it. Preacher, I'll never deny it. Oh, no, preacher, I'll never deny it. Hey, preacher boy! Hey, preacher boy! Can you hear the cock crow? Hey, preacher boy! Can you hear the cock crow? Let me give you another story. And that'll be the last story. And I'm not picking on people. I'm not mentioning no names. I'm just using them as illustrations. Because you might be the next one of those in the story. If I would mention this boy's name, probably almost most of you would know this boy. This boy was with this middle-aged man, young man. He was very close to me. He was very close to David. Very close to Bobby Shell. By the way, Bobby Shell, don't even know what I was preaching this. Don't go to Bobby Shell. Don't blame Bobby for this. He had no idea I was bringing this up. And this boy, he got saved. Bobby gave him a tape, one of my tapes, on what's good about hell. And this guy got saved listening to that tape. In his truck, even pulled his truck over here. I said, if you're in a truck, pull over the side. He actually did. He actually pulled his truck over. Can you believe that? God had me say that. And he knew people would be driving the truck down. And he started coming here off and on. And then he finally committed. He was here for every service. He went to Bible. He went to our Bible Institute. He was here for every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He was here for everything the church did. The kid loved God. He grew like in 1 year. He grew so much like in the grace of God, I couldn't believe it. Man, he was at my house or David's house almost every day of the week. He always ate with me. On Sundays, almost every day. He was like, literally, I'm serious, he was like part of my own family. I mean, I really loved him. We really loved him. He was a sharp guy. I think he still is a sharp guy. And I think he's a good man. He was single. And he said, I want a bride, preacher. I'm getting older. If I don't get a bride pretty soon, he's heading towards 40 years old. He said, I want to get a wife. I said, okay, let's pray. He was real picky. I said, well, I'm going to pray, but you got to do what God says now. I said, God will give you God knows the perfect lady in our. It's no mistake that you're with who you are. God has a perfect mate for you. I believe that. And to be honest with you, one day I told him, I was driving away, and the Lord put one of the girls in our church in my heart. And I went back here and I told him, I said, hey, I want you to date this young lady that God just put in my heart for you. He looked at me, he said, no. Because he said, he never tell preacher no. He always, whatever you want, preacher, I'll do it. He said, preacher, I've never told you no, but I don't. I said, no. I said, I'm telling you, God told me, I think you're supposed to at least date this lady and see if God would do something. He said, no, preacher. See, I said, listen, you don't have to marry her. I just want you to date her one time. And see if God can do something, because I don't know why God put her on my heart as I was driving down the road to tell you this. No! I'm sorry, I love you, preacher, but I'm not going to do that. Well, he ends up finding someone. By the way, this guy, he fasted 2 times a week. He fasted for the Lord to pay off our land. He fasted to get a bride. And he finally found a girl. She said she was saved. Amen. Hope she is. Amen. And brought her to church here. You see, Mike said he never... Oh, this man said he never... I'm sorry to omit that. I didn't mean to do that. God knows my heart. I did not. God knows my heart. Anyways, this young man said he would never date anybody but a Christian. I would say you have to date a Christian. And he said he had standards, certain standards. She'd have to have certain standards in her life. She'd have to believe the Bible's a pure word of God. She'd have to be faithful in church. She'd have to be part of our church. I said, Mike, doggone it. I said to this young man, I said, you might be ready to, you might, when you find a young lady, usually the guy goes where the girl is. You might leave Bethel, but that's all right if God's in it. Oh, no, preacher. Oh, no, preacher. I'll never leave Bethel. Oh, no, preacher. I'll never leave you. Are you with me? Oh, no, preacher. I'd never give up on the old King James Bible. He brought her a few times, and one day he came over to my house. And he said, Pastor, I've got to leave. I said, what? He said, I've got to leave Bethel. I've got to leave this church. I said, why? He said, my lady friend, I'm not going to mention her name. My lady friend, every time she comes, she gets nervous when you preach. I said, what's wrong with that? That's good. She said, no, you've got her a nervous wreck. I said, well, maybe the Lord's doing something. Well, she wants to leave. He said, she goes to her up there, up near Cleveland. They go there, but that church is not a fundamental church. They don't believe the King James Bible. So I'm going to take her and I'm going to take her to another fundamental church. And that's where we're going to start going, to find the church we can go where she can be happy. I said to him, and I hope you get this. I said, God's not in this. And I said, let me tell you. And I said 4 or 5 things to him. And I said it loud. I said it sternly. Because I was hurt. And I was hurt for him because I knew he was going down. And I'm sure he'll get this message. And I don't care because I love him. And he's still heading down. And he needs to get back up. I said, number one, you will visit a few fundamental churches, but you won't stay Because if she's not happy here, she won't be happy in any fundamental Baptist church. She'll get nervous in every one of them. I said number two. I said, not only will you not join a fundamental church, eventually you just won't go to church at all. Huh. Never, preacher. Number three. Your love for me will be gone, and this closest we have, you'll be surprised. You're already have cut the rope. The ship is going away. You'll leave us completely out of your life. Number four, whatever number one it is, I said, you'll soon be out of church. And I said, by the way, you will end up in the church where her daddy goes. You'll end up in her church that she came from, that are not fundamental, that don't believe the Bible is a pure word of God. He said, no way. He said, I'll never be in a church that doesn't believe the Bible is a pure word of God. I said, yes, you will. Yes, you will, because you're always starting to deny the things of God. And I said, eventually, you'll lose all your standards and convictions. I think that's been about 3 years, maybe four. I don't know how long it's been. 2 years? But everything, and by the way, Brother David was there in my basement when I spoke to this young man. And that young man left, hurt, and couldn't believe why the preacher was so upset. Didn't realize how much I loved him. 2 years have gone by. He comes to David's house the other night. David, I got to talk to you. By the way, he's already a member of that church that's not fundamental. He's already done everything that the preacher said. Everything that I said has happened. Every one of them. He says to Dave, I got to get this. I got to talk. David, I don't believe the King James Bible is a pure word of God. He said, I think you can use any of them. What'd you say, young man? What'd you say? Oh, this guy, if you knew him, this guy was fundamental. He said, I'm an independent, fundamental, hell-fearing, Bible-believing, King James preaching. Man, this kid was fundamental. I was concerned him once he got married, was going to be a future deacon of our church. This guy was, and you that know who I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. This kid was Big B Baptist. And 2 days ago, he told David, he's getting married against my will. In a week or so, I think he's getting married pretty soon. I don't want preacher to come to my wedding. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Because he said, I don't want him to upset my wife. I got news for you. I wouldn't have came anyways. You could have gave me money to come to that. I'm not going to go with something that I don't believe God's got his hand in. And I wouldn't go there purposely to destroy. Because I am outspoken like Peter. And he was afraid I'd say, hey! Anybody object? He's afraid I'd say, I'm saying, yeah, I do! And to be honest with you, Brother Kerry, that's another reason I can't go, because if someone said, before God, I might have to say, hello, I didn't want to have to do this. But you forced me to it. I want to tell you something. I'm not perfect. But I love your lives. And I know God. I do know God. I'm not perfect. I'm far from being perfect. But I know God. When it comes to spiritual insight and discernment, everything I told him, Brother Kerry, that kid was part of my family. You folks understand, he was with us, my family. He was with us every day of the week. Sometimes it's 12 or 1 o'clock. We had to kick him out of David's house. David said, Mike, go home. I'm married. We got to go to bed. We got to get up in the morning. Are you still with me? He's getting married. He's a member of the Daddy's Church. He don't believe the King James Bible no more. And all the things the preacher told him. Oh, no! Oh, I remember. He said, oh, no! Oh, no, I'll never deny him. Oh, no, I'll never deny him. No, no, I won't deny him. I'll never do that. David said to him, do you remember how mad you are at the preacher? Do you remember all the things he said to you? Yeah. He said everything he said to you. It's only been 2 years. Everything the pastor said to you has come to pass. I'm going to tell you something. We better watch out. Because we can say things that we'll never deny Christ. But I don't care. This kid, I'm not talking about a guy that was off the street. This guy was a solid, good, and he's still a good, upright man. I still love him. He don't know it, but I love him with all my heart. He's a clean-cut guy. A good, upright person. Yet, everything. Oh, I'll never deny. Why am I saying this? I'll close. I had 4 pages. We didn't even get to the second page. I'm serious. I had 4 pages there. Listen to me. I guess what I'm trying to say to you is this. Don't get too high-minded. We looked at Peter. We look at Peter and say, boy, hey, Peter, you really got a problem. You know what? It could happen to us. I just gave you 2 examples. I could give you more that's in this church I didn't. For the sake of time, for the sake of not... And I hope I haven't offended anybody in the future. But I'm just telling you the way it is. I'm a straight shooter. And by the way, I never call names. You that have been with me 60, I'm not a name caller. I've never even come and I messed up and I didn't mean, God knows my, I messed up and I didn't mean to do that. I never call people's names. But this has hurt me so bad. I don't want you to be the next casualty. And I want Bethel to know we can be a casualty. Hey, Peter. Oh, I'll never deny you. Uh-oh. You won't? Hey, Lord, I promise if you do this for me, I'll tithe for the rest of my life. Lord, I'll give the missions for, after a few weeks. Lord, I wanted to do it, but I can't. Can you hear the cock crow? Hey, non-giver. Do you hear the cock crow? Lord, I promise I'll read my Bible every day. Lord, I'll study it. I promise. A few weeks later, oh God, I wish I could do it, but I don't have enough time. Hey, non-reader, can you hear the cock crow? Oh God, I promise I'll be faithful. If you'll just do this, I'll be faithful to Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. God, if you'll just do this for me and my wife, I promise we'll sell out for you. We'll be in church. I promise I won't deny you. I promise I'll be faithful. Well, God, you know, I did say that to you, but you know, I can't now. You know, there's a lot of things come up and you know how things go. Hey, truth breaker. Can you hear the cock crow? Hey, wayward Christian that said you'd never wave. Can you hear the cock crow? Hey, backslidden Christian. Hey, deceived Christian. Can you hear the cock crow?
Hey, you that are disgruntled, can you hear the cock crow? I'm going to tell you something. I think the cock's crowing a lot. And I think we're so far in sin, that young man doesn't even know he's wrong. And I believe with all my heart that he's marrying out of the will of God. Say what you want, and I know it'll get back. I don't care. I'm going on record. It's not God's will. Oh, I can't believe he'd do something like that. You can believe it. I'm a real man of God. Say what you want. But when you say it, you better listen a little bit later, because you might hear the cock crow. Hey, Peter. Oh, I never will. I never will. I'll never drop out of church. I'll never do... Hey, watch out. You just might hear the cock crow like Peter did. We better walk with God. We better seek His face. We better know Him. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things in life that can take me down and take you down and take us out from the things of God. And the one who gets the victory is Satan. Not saying that lady's a bad lady. Not saying that she's not a good person. I just never felt God was in it. I wonder if he would have listened to the preacher. I wonder if God would have sparked some love there with a gal in our church that's still faithful in this church. I wonder if he'd be here today. I wonder if both those boys, if they would have listened to the man of God, would have listened to the shepherd's heat, if they would have heeded to the shepherd's warning. I hope you're getting it. If they would have heeded to the shepherd's warning, I wonder if the story would have been written different. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that you would help us today to understand that we could easily be taken down. Many times we'll say, oh, I never will. I never will. We're just like Peter. I'll never deny you. I'll never turn my back on you. I'll never do this or I'll never do this on you, God. Lord, help us never to get so high-minded that we become a casualty. I pray for those that have become casualties. Pray that you'd help them. Help them to see that the error of their way. Pray they would get back where you would be blessed and pleased with. And Lord, I just pray with all my heart that we would learn to love people and encourage people. And may they see that our love is genuine and that we want the best for their lives. And Father, I pray if there's people here that's never trusted Christ, I pray that they'll understand that without Christ, they're only one heartbeat from hell. And they need a Savior to get them to heaven. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many can say, preacher, I know for sure I'm saved. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure I'm saved. Thank you. You may put him down. Is there any today say, preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Just raise your hand, put it back down. I won't come to you, but I will pray. Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. If I go to heaven when I die, I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Pray for me. Before we go home, Maybe you're like Peter, and you can hear the cock crow today. Maybe something that you heard or something that the Lord spoke to you about. Maybe there's something in your life that God spoke to you about. And you'd say, Pastor, I hear the cock crow today. Pray for me. God wants me to do something. Who'd say that? Pray for me. Yes. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that I was not offensive to anyone. God, that's not my intent to be offensive. I want to be a help. Help me to help others that they might not be hindered for the things of God. And Lord, I just pray that every individual here would be careful with things in their life. We all can end up like Peter, denying, turning our back on you, and hearing the cock crow. Pray that we won't hear the cock crow in our life. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. What page?